Alright, so we were studying chapter 3. We were on page 13, last class, discussing the tongue. And we finished looking at who this passages were directed at primarily. As we discussed, this has application, the tongue and control of the tongue has application for all Christians, for all of us. This was specifically directed at the teachers, and someone made a comment after class, and I felt like I should discuss momentarily just to clarify the concern where I mentioned at the beginning. It says that let not many of you become teachers, and there was the question, well, how come we thought we were all supposed to aspire to be teachers? And of course, anyone who goes from an immature, newborn Christian to a mature Christian, anyone who starts to try to tell someone else about the Word of God is teaching, and thus a teacher. What I meant to say, that if you also look in other translations, this word teacher is also instead is master. And so I think the idea what I meant to, if I wasn't clear about, was this is a master, a teacher. Someone is the more experienced individual is more of the leadership role in the church here. And so, not an immature who's beginning to teach, an immature Christian beginning to teach, but a mature, authority-based teacher that other people are looking up or should be looking up to. And of course, this is written to them to, watch out. To be at that level, to be masters, the experts, they're there to exercise control of their tongue, and then there's not to be too many people of that caliber. And I think we see that when we looked at that, they're going to receive a stricter judgment. If that applied to all teachers, anyone who starts to teach someone anything, then we're all under this strict judgment. And also, when we get to there tonight, in verse 13, where it says, he moves on to the next section where he questions him. He says, well, who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show by his conduct good works and wisdom. There he's questioning them. They think they're wise. And so there's this thought amongst them that they're wise, that they're wanting to become teachers. And, for that, and I suspect for the trait that's common amongst the Jews, for that praise the position. If you look at Matthew 23, beginning in verse 2, and I actually had that. I was going to mention that last class, but I forgot to write down the verse on my notes. So I had to go home and get it. Matthew 23 and 2. Jesus is speaking to his disciples. He mentions in 2, saying at that time, the scribes and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat. And therefore, whatever they tell you to observe, that observe and do, but do not do according to their works. For they say and do not do. If you skip down to verse 6, talking about some of the other things that they don't really do, but they teach, but they don't. They don't do what they preach. But in verse 6, they love the best places at the feasts, the best seats in the synagogues. Greetings in the marketplaces, and be called by men rabbi. And so you see here this prevalence, it's something that all men can fall into, is carried over to these brethren. I believe that there's some people wanting to be teachers, that want to have respect to the congregation and that authority, position of authority, and that praise. And the what he's addressing here is that to really be in that position, you need to have the behavior that fits that, and to control the tongue, which is as we're discussing, and we'll see more traits, more characteristics they should be exhibiting further on in a few verses. Is that clear? Maybe it was totally clear before, but I just want to make it clear. So that ends that. In E, I asked, how may the tongue or the speech defile the body and be a world of iniquity? To just examples, and not examples from the Bible or examples just from personal experience and things we see in the world. How can the tongue defile the body?
You can start boasting about yourself and then in the end have too much pride.
Yeah. You could boast and become prideful, and that pride's gonna, that's an attitude that's gonna lead you to fall into other temptations and other sins. Thank you.
Saying unkind things to others or about others.
Yep. Insulting others. Debasing others.
Speaking without thinking. Speak
yes.
Lies, deceive, lead others astray. Even sometimes if without knowledge you can lead others astray. But a lot of times, you just want to deceive.
Yes. I think maybe I might not have been clear. Yeah, I was looking for how do we maybe defile your own body? How does one defile his own body with the use of his tongue? And of course, there's lots of sins that the we can be implemented through the tongue.
I have, and this may still not be answering your question, but I also put down Proverbs 18:7.
There's no wrong answers. Proverbs 18:7. I don't have that one. A fool's mouth is his destruction, and his lips are the snare of his soul.
Basically, his words show his true heart.
Yep. I'd agree with that. Yeah. That attitude is going to be expressed through his speech, and you can destroy your soul through, and that's a pretty general one, but yep.
You can start hanging out with the wrong people, like say there's a group of people at work that cuss or talk really dirty, and you're like, man, I want to be with them, and then you could start talking dirty and cussing, and then that can lead you to your heart being ugly eventually.
Yeah, so lewd speech. And of course, I know where you're going is most people don't go, oh yeah, I want to be with them because they're talking dirty, but it's the idea of wanting to be included.
Well, laughing at their jokes, or something.
Yeah, and wanting to be included, you then mimic their behavior to belong. Yeah, and then you can get to lewd jesting or speech, and those thoughts can, that affects your attitude, and you think that way, and then that is going to exhibit in other things. That's a good example of eventually defiles your body.
I work with a bunch of guys. I work with all guys. And I have to periodically remind them, hello, I'm here. there's a girl, I'm here, don't want to hear it. And then that kind of snaps them back into, okay, yeah, we got to watch what we say around her. And
yeah.
So that's, because they get into their
lewd talk.
Yes. And I have to remind them, I can hear you. Don't want to hear you.
Yeah, it happens.
I've seen in several women, I guess as a teacher, I think some people, they get these, they get hung up on a lie, and they start thinking the whole world is against them. It's all this weird conspiracy stuff. And it kind of drives the person crazy. It's kind of scary, but when a person is telling themselves, they tell lies to other people, and then they start believing their own lies, and then they just kind of go crazy, and then everybody's oh, what's wrong with you? It's just kind of scary that can just ruin your whole life.
Perspective on things.
Right.
Yeah. And I had some of the same thought, maybe not from a conspiracy theory standpoint, but eventually you do believe what you tell yourself, and that's why they a lot of people have self-confidence issues and lead to depression. And I see don't know if depression is more prevalent than it used to be, or if just medical people trying to sell pills now versus mm-hmm. they didn't have those pills a long time ago. But they keep mentioning it all the time. And, you know, I read self-help articles or whatever, and that's one of the big things they say is, you know, it takes, you have to say positive things so many times to negate the negative things mm-hmm. you know, that other people tell you or that you tell yourself. And there's that idea of positive thinking. You think positively, don't be too critical on yourself because you beat yourself down. And so, yeah, you can deceive yourself, undervalue yourself, and, you know, that's, you know, when you get to that point, you don't act, you think, oh, nothing I do is worthwhile, and then you're not going to do anything that could be worthwhile. Thank you. Anything else?
We were asking about how it can, what did you say, like, defile your
body.
Defile your body. Verse 11, does a fountain send out from the same opening both fresh and bitter water? And, you know, with it we bless God and praise God and then curse a fellow man, or, you know, bring negative things in or sinful things come out of our mouth. It's like those two things don't happen. You can't be praising God and offering a sincere worship to Him while also being the person that spreads around curses and you know, curses the fellow man. Your praises aren't real praises. It's like this: if your mouth is the kind that brings praises to God, then that's the kind of mouth it is, a good tongue. The tongue that is, you know, what God wants it to be. And if it's doing anything else but that, then it's not a good tongue. So that's how it defiles you. You either are one or the other. It's like, didn't we call, you know, we called upon your name, we cast out demons, did all these things, but sorry, your tongue was the one that, you know, brought out the salt.
Yeah.
Not fresh.
Well, it's saying that that ought not to be so. I wouldn't say in absolute that you're either one or the other, because otherwise we're all on the wrong side. Because we always, at some point, all of us are going to lose control. And, you know, as we mentioned before, you know, in verse 8 says, but no man can tame the tongue. We're not perfect. We're going to slip up. But yeah, it ought not to be so. You're right. Is everyone else out of ideas?
The tongue can sow discord and can split a church. And for some reason it doesn't take much when that starts happening. So.
Yeah. And y'all mentioned some things that we're going to have on the next page as well. And we're going to get to that in a second. Everyone's got ideas. I had a few more. I mean, when it came to, you know, defiling the body, I guess we came across a little bit the lewd talk and how that affects your attitude, but you can certainly stir up passions and lusts of sexual nature. You know, people talking about that kind of stuff gets them thinking about that, and then that leads to all sorts of other things. I don't know if it's a good detail. Everyone knows what happens. You get a group of guys like that, and then next thing you know, a mob running away, and there's, you know, evidences of that in the world today, and trials and repercussions in India and other things in the past. and of course there's always all these different emotions. I already spoke about, you know, depression, but can also stir up prejudices and hatred. You know, people talk, you know, say some prejudice or jokes I've, you know, heard a lot between different races or ethnicities, and it seemed kind of funny at first, but, you know, you get that kind of ideas built in your head that one class of people is better than another, and then you start believing it. Back to that, what you kind of tell yourself over and over again, you start to believe. And it affects your attitude and how your treatment of other people. And that bitterness and resentment toward one group versus another, or toward yourself or another. And of course, with hatred comes violence. That's all I got. But thank you. Y'all had some good comments. See, as we've seen in verse 6, it mentioned that the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. The tongue is set so among our members that it defiles the whole body and sets on fire the course of nature, and is set on fire by hell. We see that, you know, for every kind of beast and bird, of reptile and creature of the sea is tamed and has been tamed by mankind. But no man can tame the tongue. It is unruly, evil, full of deadly poison. We saw how it can defile ourselves, it can defile the body. And we see this verse in, passage and phrase in verse 6 that it sets on fire the course of nature. And my footnote also says the course of existence. And I take that as just, it can negatively affect or disrupt, you know, your life, the course of your life. And I ask you to look at, I listed out 4 different ways in which, you know, different aspects of life, you know, your personal, yourself, which sort of overlaps with what we were just talking about, and then also family, and then brotherly or brethren, how it can affect brethren, and then, you know, from a national perspective, nationally, how can the tongue disrupt things? So if you look at the first one, well, I guess we don't really have to look at the first one. There's a lot of it that's the same stuff we've already mentioned. When it comes to, you know, defiling the body, it's how it disrupts yourself. But, well, anyone come up with anything different than what they had previously?
Well, kind of, to me, I also...
How did you read the question and answer?
Well, no. Mm-hmm. That was kind of how I did it. But also going by what Jamie just said, in yourself, the way you talk to yourself and the way you tend to think at times, some people, not everybody, will affect how you view others, going back to her conspiracy theorist and, you know, everybody's out to get you.
Yeah.
That could all be starting with what's going on inside your head and how you're talking and viewing yourself as well.
Yep. You can deceive yourself in a lot of different ways. You know, and that seed is, you know, how you, what you're telling yourself and what you're telling other people, and you start to, whether it's true or not, you believe it. Or you believe it's true to begin with. And like I said, it depends. Like, I think of the depression aspect and the positive versus negative attitude. I think I mentioned before, there's a lot of negative engineers.
Yes,
and
there are.
I'm trying to counteract the negative one who's right beside me. He complains all the time. And, you know, and you just get in that, you know, you just start, oh, this is going wrong. And you focus on all the things that are going wrong, and you don't think anything's going right, you know. Anyway, we see other places in the Bible, we're supposed to thank God for what we have, be content. And there's that mind frame of, mm-hmm. if you stop and thank God for what you have, it shifts you to the positive side, and you feel better. So, yeah, that right there alone, just negative attitude can affect the way you... how you behave and how you view the rest of the world disrupts yourself, your life. Anybody have anything else?
We've all known the two-faced person or the hypocrite, and you know, in the end, doesn't really have a true friend, and they end up lonely, you know, if they continue in that. And the same thing with the talebearer or the liar. They become known as being totally untrustworthy, and so they lose trust. Your people lose trust with them, and so it really affects you when you're not doing those kinds of things. People don't want to be around a person that boasts. I mean, they just, you know, it's odious to be around, and so if you keep on doing that, you know, it's going to be.
Yeah, it's someone who boasts, someone who lies, someone who debases others. You know, they say people who insult others are trying to lift themselves up by bringing everyone else down. That's gonna, someone, no one likes being around that guy, and he's gonna end up ostracizing himself due to that behavior. You know, again, end up alone. Rod?
So most of the comments made so far have to do with things that the tongue says that are incorrect or are wrong. Mm-hmm. But there's even an aspect of the tongue needs to know when to say even the right thing, because there could be a wrong time to say the right thing. Mm-hmm. And I even think of 1 Peter 3:15, where even in defending our faith, it's with meekness and fear. So even saying the right thing at the right time, but maybe saying everything that needs to be said, because if you don't say enough, maybe you come across as being harsh or uncaring, but or it may even come across as boastful when it isn't boastful. But there may be something else you want to add to that message. So it's just I think that's why you had the verse 8. It's just hard to tame it. Paul. We know of one case where he ridiculed the high priest, and my sense is that he was out of line to do that. He even corrected himself after he knew who it was. Reprimanding him. I can study that when we get into Acts.
Yeah.
But, you know, Peter, he had trouble with his mouth. So even good men have trouble with their mouth.
Yeah. Yes, it's something we all need to work. Everyone's guilty of, and they can exercise more control of it. I think we already talked about the pride, you know, besides someone berating themselves and critiquing themselves. And I hope I mean like telling yourself things that aren't true. I mean, you can tell your things are true, like, I could have done better at this, or I could work harder at this. But they're all from a negative, they're true in a sense, but they're all from a negative side to make you feel bad. Also, people who think too highly of themselves, I do awesome all the time, I'm great, and then they have an overconfidence, and that leads you into trouble as well. What about within the family? How is the family disrupted by actions of the tongue?
It's how you speak to them, whether it's harsh and mean and unkind and anger, or whether it's out of love. And you can still speak to them in anger, but from a loving place, and it comes across different as if you're speaking harsh and angry out of a not so loving place.
Yeah. Thank you. Yeah, Proverbs 15:1. I think Paul's in line with what you're saying. Proverbs 15:1. A soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. And of course, you can stir up, and this is true outside the family as well, but certainly within the family, you know, how you respond to things. You know, a harsh word is that the manner in which you're saying something, and that stirs up anger with the family and brings contention, brings arguments, escalates emotions, things get out of hand. And families are, what do they say, I forgot the saying. Well, basically a harsh word can't be taken back. I don't know, you all know what it is. So yeah, anger can disrupt the family, been brought on by the way we speak. What else? It may not just the way we speak, but you know, how others speak to us.
Yeah, well, within the family, I particularly like Proverbs 27:15, and it says, a constant dripping on a day of steady rain and a contentious woman are alike. And of course, there's other passages that talk about it's better to live in a corner's roof than to, you know, to live with a contentious woman. So it wears down the soul. It just drip, 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 and with every drip, there's a little bit less love or less closeness, you know, less wanting to have intimacy, you know, with that person on many different levels, and it's just a contentious, whether it's the husband or the wife.
It builds up resentment over time.
It does. It just wears him down.
What person did you say that was?
The one I read was 27, Proverbs 27, verse 15.
Thank you. That's a good one.
Well, 25:24 is the other one about
what. Yeah, yeah. Yeah. I guess that's a constant critical speech in the family. It can certainly break a family apart, cause that the lack of, you know, not amount of love that they're supposed to show one another. Josh?
And just that doesn't stop with just the between husband and wife too. You know, it's between the kids nagging their parents too much, or the parents getting on their kids too much about something that the kids are already trying to address or has addressed, and is just using their mistakes to, I don't know, remind them that, you know, they made a mistake and they need to, you know, show, I guess, more you know, prudence or something like that. Yeah, just got to be careful with how often you bring things up. And is this really for their soul's best interest? Or is it just you are getting a little upset about how a person is being, or like they're so happy or they're so focused on something, you want to bring them back to a state that you feel like you have them in check or something like that.
Yeah.
And then you bring up something that, you know, was a mistake they made or something like that.
Maybe overbearing or controlling.
Mm-hmm.
And that, I don't know exactly where it's coming from. In Colossians 3:21, we see an example of that in the Bible. Fathers, do not provoke your children lest they become discouraged. And also Ephesians 6:4. You know, and you fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the Lord. Bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord. And so, you know, there is this, we're commanded to admonish them, but at the same time, there's a way to do it that can be incorrect, that can provoke, to cause anger, to cause resentment, that, you know, this can disrupt the family and break the family bonds you should have. And of course, I'm not, you know, I'm saying these things that, by all means, we can't, sometimes it's the manner in which we say things, you know. Sometimes you have to say something that is not fuzzy and warm and perfect and you're doing awesome. You need a little bit of work. But the manner in which you say it can change the emotional response you get from a person, you know? And if you're emotionally charged when you say it, that's going to, you know, get someone else emotionally defensive. They're not going to hear you. They're going to block you out. They're going to attack. You know, when we're speaking, you know, what is our object? Our main purpose? I hope.
Communicate.
Yep. Communicate. To express your thoughts to someone else and have them understand it. And so you're speaking so they will understand you. And if you do it in a manner that causes those reactions, they're not going to hear what you're saying. It's going to get blocked out. It's going to get lost in this response. That we're all emotional. I mean, we all can let our emotions get away from us. So, yeah. Anyone have anything else?
I didn't think engineers had emotions. Just building on what you said earlier.
The Spock myth. Oh,
yeah. I find it interesting that in Proverbs 6, of the things that are listed there that the Lord hates, that the things about the tongue is mentioned the most, and the blind tongue, and, you know, they false witness at others' lies, and the one who spreads strife among brethren. So, I mean, you know, it's just, it's so prevalent. You know, God just hates that kind, because it shows the heart. And So, you know, it comes from the haughty eyes and the wicked heart. But it's amazing just the motive to injure and what the tongue is used there.
Yeah. I also had Proverbs 15:4. You see there, the wholesome tongue is a tree of life, but perverseness in it breaks the spirit. So you can break someone's spirit, reduce the, destroy their morale for getting things done. You know, you can stir up anger. There's a whole bunch of things we can think of.
Just like we understand that the good side of family and the tongues is like the worthy woman of Proverbs 31. She opens the mouth in wisdom, and the teaching of kindness is on her tongue. You know, and so when it's said and done, you know, she's the worthy woman. She's the one of the Lord. But it starts with fear of the Lord and her children. That's what we call her blessed. So, you know, she talks wisdom. And she talks kindness. And the result of that is something different than if it were strife, contention, harsh.
That's absolutely correct. And yeah, I've mentioned before, the tongue can be used both ways, for good and for wrong. And it's good to remember that with proper use and proper control, you can build up the family, you can, you know, motivate and encourage and edify one another. Any other thoughts on the family? No one else willing to speak?
Well, if you look at 15:2, that's kind of Proverbs 15:2. Sorry.
Yeah.
That can be all encompassing. That doesn't have to get to one specific category.
Yeah, but the mouth of fools pours forth foolishness.
Well, even the first part, the tongue of the wise makes knowledge acceptable. So if you're, to me, that's thinking before you speak and just spouting something out. That's generally when something dumb falls out.
Yeah.
Or something that shouldn't be said falls out.
Yeah, if you're not thinking, you're going to say, that's, of course, if you're not thinking, what are you not doing?
Filtering.
You're not filtering, you're not controlling it, right? You're letting it flow. And we're looking at some of the things that happen when you don't control it. The end result is, we're talking about, this is something that ought not be so, that we're to exercise control over the tongue. I also had, within the family, there's infidelity and adultery, which can be first stirred up, first aroused from speech, to the seduction. You look at it. Proverbs 5 and verse 3. And nothing breaks up families more frequently than unfaithfulness in your marriage relationship. And we don't have to read all of Proverbs 5, but you see at the very beginning, for the lips of an immoral woman drip honey, and her mouth is smoother than oil. And if you read through, you see some other parts where she grabs the guy and seduces him and talks to him, tells him sweet things and how great it's all going to be. And I think even Steve, mentioned that in a verse sermon recently. They don't come up and tell you, "Hey, come here. We're going to go die, and we're going to end up in hell." That's not how it starts. It starts with nice things, sweet speech, and of course, you're led astray and end up in fornication and adultery, and of course, that destroys families. We look at Genesis 37 and 11. Of course, I like just going to the Bible verses for examples, but we see these kind of examples, day to day in everyday life. But the idea of jealousy and violence are stirred up first with the tongue. Even within the family. Genesis 37:11. Of course, this is, you know, Joseph tells his brothers his dream, and his brothers envied him, but his father kept the matter in mind. And of course, in verse 18, when he went out to them, searching for them in the field, now when they saw him afar off, even before he came near them, they conspired against him to kill him. You know, they start talking about it. They're meeting of the minds, hey, let's do this, let's do that. If they hadn't started expressing their, you know, this hatred of Joseph, hey, do you hate him? I hate him. What are we going to do about it? And then their ideas take off. And here they're talking about killing their own brother. And sorry to say that this stuff still happens today. But, you know, even if it doesn't go that far, there's jealousies within the company, within the family, based on, you know, people's speech, based on the things they say. You know, parents, I saw her on the radio, something about how they were claiming that every parent has a favorite. And it may be true, I don't know. But, you know, that's going to be, if without control, you're going to actually show favoritism to one child and give them encouragement and give them praise, and you're not going to give it to the other child. If this was the case, then they're going to notice, and that's going to cause jealousy within the family. There's a, you see a lot of time when, you know, children grow up and they have families of their own, and they immediately take off. Don't want to talk to each other. Don't want to have anything to do with one another. So, can you broken family, Tammy?
One that I just thought of is telling stories or lies to your children. That can cause mistrust in the children when they get older.
Yeah, yeah, that's true. You know, that happens in a lot of different ways. You know, I think I maybe have what is in your mind, or what pops in my mind is, you know, talking about Santa or the Easter Bunny and Tooth Fairy and stuff like that. But sometimes it's not always from that nature, but sometimes people, you know, just don't want to talk about something. A child asks a simple question and blah, blah, blah. And they say something that's not true just to get them off their back. And of course, you know, kids are people and they're intelligent and they figure stuff out. That person can't be trusted. I can't trust you. You don't tell the truth half the time.
It might not come to you for advice.
They may not even, you know, then you're talking about, you know, that situation, they're telling the kids something. What if it's not even lies to the child? You just see a parent telling lies. And that's going to, you know, children start telling lies and everyone's lying and no one trusts anybody. It's going to break up the family.
You know, they jerk them up and spank them for telling a lie. And then the next thing the child hears is mom or dad on the telephone, you know, or saying, you know, something is not true, or telling the kid, telling them they're not there or they're, you know, out or whatever, you know, they're not talking. And so it's a double standard.
Yeah, kids catch on to hypocrisy and quickly mimic it.
It's so funny how adept children are. Just before I came to this class, Lily was telling me about one of her students in her class and how she's not trustworthy and she says ugly things, and she was asking me, like, how to deal with these, you know, this relationship she's trying to have with this girl who sits right across from her in class. So, and I wish now that I had started in on this chapter, you know, James chapter 3, hello, let's talk about it. You know, I was giving her good advice, but now I'm like, why didn't I talk to her about what the Bible says about these situations, you know? And that's just what we should be doing every single day with our children, especially as mothers and fathers. I mean, it's so easy. There's our child, our captive audience, you know. This is what we need to be teaching them.
Excellent comment. I think we covered that one. What about within the family of Christ amongst our brethren?
A lot of the same things.
Yep.
Proverbs 17:9. He who repeats a matter separates intimate friends. Someone tells you in private, you don't go around telling other people.
Yeah, a matter of breaking trust and causing dissension. your division?
Matthew 18, if your brother sins, go and show him his fault. You know, we don't like that passage, apparently. But we don't use it very much as we should.
Yeah, that's a good one. That's a good outcome. Or we hope that it's a good outcome. Something, one thing we should be doing. Because I was looking at the negative side. I was looking for all the things that can disrupt everything that the tongue can get involved with the tongue. But I appreciate both sides, though.
Well, I meant that in a negative way, because what I meant was, and it was sort of a facetious comment, was we go and tell somebody about it, but we don't go to the person, we go to somebody else. So,
okay.
And it happens specifically in the church. I mean, there are times even when there's no reason for an elder to know what's going on. If you can handle it between two people, handle it between two people, be done with it. Okay. They don't need to know anything about it.
Sorry, I misunderstood you there.
Yeah, I wasn't real clear. So, it's not so much what's said then, because you may be totally, what you're saying is totally appropriate. But it needs to be said to the right person,
mm-hmm.
not to
everybody
your best
else.
Friend or to everybody else. Mm-hmm. That's right. I mean, it's another misuse of the tongue.
Thank you for that. And yeah, that truly is the case. First Corinthians, first. Verse 10. First Corinthians, verse 10. Getting tongue-tied there.
No pun intended.
This may not necessarily point out specifically use of the tongue, but certainly it's involved. We see here, it says, now I plead with you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. For it has been declared to me concerning you, my brethren, that those of Chloe's household, that you, there are contentions among you. And of course, divisions. And he does say in verse 10 that he's encouraging them to speak the same thing, not different things, not to be divided. The tongue certainly can cause division, and we're already looking at, there's a different verse 10. There's different ways in which that can happen by, spreading things that shouldn't be spread. Oh my goodness. That caught up on me. Just dissension in a whole lot of ways. Envy, backbiting. We're just going to have to stop.
Chapter 3. Chapter 4.